Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, No Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And how's everybody doing this week?
Great.
Perfect.
It's like a zillion degrees out, so every time I go to the pool, no one else is there because it's so hot.
Oh, that's
like, hell
nice.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
I thought maybe it was going to be like busy, like the pool, like thick with bodies.
You'd think so, but no, everyone's inside in the air conditioning.
Well, that makes sense, too.
Was there a more normal way you could have said that?
I don't think so. No, I think I said it was like a standard usage, pretty much. And if you take a moment and just imagine it, and you'll find it makes quite a bit of sense.
It's evocative. You're a writer. A storyteller.
I try to be, but you don't always get it right. Something we'll be talking about in our discussion of wrestling this week. You don't always get it right. When you're That's telling amazing. Stories.
What a perfect transition.
Hey, I try. Sometimes you do it. Hey, sometimes you do it. We're just going to start out by quickly plugging a little pod that we released earlier this week. So we've...
Speaking of being thick with bodies, we had Marty on the pod.
Well, that was inappropriate.
Wow, she's coming for my transition crap. Things are looking rough for me. We did have Marty DeRosa of Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling on the podcast earlier this week. We got to ask him all kinds of questions that we have about the history of wrestling and how wrestling works and FTR, and he got a chance to make a pitch for us, and you guys can listen and hear for yourselves how it went, but he did a good job, and we loved having him on, and we really recommend that you check out that episode if you haven't already.
He was pretty fun. I would say
that. He was very fun, and he was so good at our dating game.
Oh, my God.
Like, upsettingly good, stunningly. Almost, yeah.
He took it to a new level, and
it was about emotional intimacy. It was about deep connections. I was impressed. I'm not going to lie.
It's clear that he's a very good partner because he knows how to be a good partner. Like, unbelievable.
That's true. And I think we learned something. Next time you hear us playing that dating game, it's going to be a richer space for what he had to say. So go take a listen to that if you have not already. Okay, the first thing that I want to briefly touch on is just the fact that it was Shark Week. And did you feel like AEW had gotten the memo about Shark Week like pretty late in the game and were kind of like that someone looked at it and was like, you want us to do stuff with this? I'm so busy. I don't have time for this.
They're like, oh God, can we get a shark costume like on short notice?
Every reference to shark stuff, except for the shark cage, which was insane in its own way, was just like, it really felt like they just sent out a memo and they were like, if you can think of a way to integrate shark stuff into what you're doing, corporate synergy wise, I guess do that. But we don't have the time. We do not have the time.
But it was like, we'll approve anything. Like any idea that you have. Yeah.
No,
like
no bad ideas in brainstorming, they said, and then they took them all straight. I honestly didn't know Discovery was still doing Shark Week, so that was, you know, delightful to find out about.
Did they say it's been 30 years of Shark Week? Did I make
Has
that up?
It?
I think it was decades of Shark Week.
I mean, it definitely has been decades when you think about it. It's sort of alarming.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I don't have cable, so, like, I don't, you know, click around. So the only reference that I hear of Shark Week every so often is just people making jokes about their period. So, like, very often I just kept being startled by what people were saying. I was like, oh, I don't, okay, all right.
That's very funny, because I actually haven't heard those jokes that much, but my workplace has, like, a week of continuing education where you can take little classes and stuff, and they call it Shark Week every year. I don't know why.
No, you don't know.
Literally, no idea. No.
Very interesting. I have a follow-up question. It's not related to the shark part, but it was also the second week of Fyter Fest. Is there, like, a theme to Fyter Fest, or it's just, like, is there any
reason?
I'll tell
you, there is. They fight.
Oh, okay. Whoa. Okay, you heard it here first.
No, it's crazy. These little, like, annual events they have, because, like, the Winter Is Coming one, it, like, doesn't really do anything either. Like, it doesn't seem like they have, like,
well, it's just
a particular...
they don't do any themed, like, decorations or...
No, I'd love if they got some decorations out
if they
there.
Were thinking of it through, like, a prom or homecoming lens, where it's, yeah, like, this is the theme, kind of like what they did with Shark Week.
AEW Under the Sea would be a great...
I'd love that. I guess that, again, was Shark Week, kind of. No, but it's like there's really nothing. I just feel like there maybe should be something that you can point to that's like, it's Fyter Fest because they have this one specific type of fighter match. Or, like,
right,
it's Fyter Fest because everybody, like, talks about why they love fighting. I don't know. Give me something.
I know. Or, like, there's boxing gloves, like, hanging from the ceiling, like mobiles.
Yeah. Beautiful boxing glove decorations and bloody streamers.
Ooh. No, I really don't understand any of their, like, themed regular episodes of Dynamite at all.
Well, great. As long as we all know nothing, then we're in agreement and we can move on.
Room to grow.
Room to grow. Yeah. This week, Swerve and Keith Lee came out on Dynamite to celebrate their tag title win. They are our new tag team champs. And they just spent a little while kind of, like, sucking up to the crowd and hamming around in the ring before we got a pretty classic little champion celebration where I guess Kevin Gates is a rapper that none of us knew about. He had a very sweet-looking face. That's all we know. He punched Mark Sterling because Mark Sterling came out to try and get him to sign Tony Nese's petition against Swerve Strickland. And so Kevin Gates punched Mark Sterling, and then Swerve smushed a cake in Mark Sterling's face. And that was kind of the whole deal. I want to do a quick check in. So they are faces. They are faces?
Yes.
Yeah, but
this,
like,
was a real celebration.
And Swerve's really stretching the definition of fate. Like, they feel a lot more like tweeners to me, really.
Maybe,
like,
that's kind of the issue of the tag team, is that Keith Lee does have real face energy, and Swerve has real, like, oh, I could go heel any second. I am so close.
Yeah. Like, pretty much.
Because I do feel like mostly when we see these celebrations for a new champ, they are from a heel. So I was like, that puts us in the realm a little bit.
Yeah, they usually don't get cake and props. Like, they will bring, like, Thunder Rosa out to give a little speech sometimes when she doesn't get to give a speech, actually.
Yeah, but no cake smushing. Yeah, that's good.
No cake smushing. Can't go wrong with cake smushing, though. Like, I wasn't mad having to watch it.
I was a little worried that they might try to, like, you know, play with it and not have the cake and go in Sterling's face.
That'd be disappointing.
As soon as Mark Sterling came out, I was like, that man's going in the cake.
That's what that man's for.
That's exactly what he's for.
I love the idea of you sitting there just like, the idea of that cake making it backstage unmarred.
It's upsetting. Horrible. It's really upsetting. Yeah. I think I would, like, really have trouble watching next week if they betrayed me that way.
Yeah, it really is for you.
Yeah, I mean, a cake at a wrestling show is really like a gun in the first act. Yeah, absolutely. I just can't.
It would be poor storytelling. And
it's a betrayal of the narrative. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not that, though. That would be too far.
That's the final bridge. We did have some little, like, vibes in the ring. So it was, like, very fun. They're both very charming, obviously. Like, they were playing with the crowd. We did have a little thing where it's, like, the crowd was chanting for Keith Lee. They were doing his chant. And then Swerve got a little shirty and was like, okay, do a little something for me. I can make him chant for me, too. So I like that we're starting, like, coming in hot with, like, they're on the same page enough, but not really. Yeah.
It was a good amount of tension because they didn't go over the top with it, but it was just like, oh, yeah, Swerve's not pleased with it. Just a little, like, he's making a joke, but it's not really a joke kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like just your attention hog friend where you're like, well, that's just Sandra, but someday this is going to become a problem. Some of us do now love Tony Nese. We're in love with him. Yeah. Is that okay?
Well, in love.
I would say we got some negative feedback about that in the group chat, but
it wasn't positive. No.
Love being it.
I don't know that
I'm in love with him, but I am enjoying him. So
I didn't take the negative feedback seriously because people were saying, like, this is the most disturbing thing that's ever been said in this group chat. No, it's not. I'll tell you that for free. It's certainly not. Even close.
No, I have no concerns. You can say you're in love with Tony Nese, and that's fine.
He just has such a, like, they're just using him in the only way that I would want to see him used, whereas, like, whole vibe is just like, I'm showing you my beautiful muscles. Are you not enjoying this? Don't you think I should be the champion? This is unacceptable. And everyone's
think
like,
it's funny because
no.
Like, I found him annoying at first. So it's interesting that they've taken him in this direction where it's like, oh no, he's annoying is his deal, and it's like, okay, that's great.
Right? Like, it's so much better when they lean into something where they're just, mm-hmm. like when they try mm-hmm. to tell me someone's not annoying. Then mm-hmm. like I don't want to hear it, but like when it's like, oh yeah, he's honestly one of the more annoying people on our roster, it's like suddenly that's very enjoyable to watch.
Exactly.
Yeah. When he was just sitting in the stands and they were like, premier athlete Tony Nese, and you're like, what? But yeah, when he's running around with a petition trying to get a coworker banned
right.
for no reason I really remember.
And now every time they say premier athlete Tony Nese, I genuinely yeah. crack up.
It's very funny. Yeah.
That's comedy.
Yep. Also, his muscles, like, they're so pronounced, they look comic. Like, they look like he looks like he's wearing like a muscle shirt, kind of. Yeah. You know, yeah. one of those t-shirts where they have the muscles painted on. Yeah.
Well, and I said it's the same thing because Jade also has those muscles that you're just like, how could yeah. those be on a body? And Mark Sterling has worked for both of them. It can't be a coincidence. Mm. He's seeking out bulgy muscles backstage.
He's like, do you look fictional, like you shouldn't exist in this reality? Well, I'd love
have
to
I got
represent
the
you.
For you. Me. Let's talk about the main event pretty early on. So this was Eddie and Jericho. This was their big barbed wire match with the Shark Cage for Corporate Synergy. It was kind of a shit show.
It was a huge shit show.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know. It was like one of those things where you're like, I've seen a lot of these elements before and they didn't look silly then, but there's
that's
something about this
classic
execution.
Design principle is that yeah. a little too much of anything.
That is what it is. They should have looked in the mirror before that match and taken off at least one piece of barbed wire.
Yeah, I think so. Just some of the plot elements. So the members of Jazz got suspended in their shark cage. Ruby Soho was in charge of the controls. At a certain point in the match, Ty Conti attacked her, and you kind of thought that maybe like Ruby could beat Ty Conti, but then Anna Jay came out and it seemed like she'd be on Ruby's side, but she actually was on Ty's side. They're not in a fight. Actually, Anna Jay, I guess, is a bad girl now. Which once I was thinking about it, I was like, I think they may be like pretty down in the heels department in the women's division.
Yeah. Are they
so
all injured?
Maybe they yeah. were. It was like out of necessity. They were like, we gotta get some bad girls in here.
It's honestly like fine. Like I'm not mad about it, but it's just like this abrupt. Like they've done so many things so fast with no backing. It yeah. it feels like a little bit like you know when M. Night Shyamalan had his, you know, whatever, the They've Been Dead the Whole Time movie, and then it was like every movie he made after that, he was like, thank you. Yes, I was going to pretend like I just wasn't trying to say the title, but I couldn't remember it. But then for a while, he was like, oh, yeah, my movies, they got a twist at the end. Like, do they need a twist? Not necessarily, but they're going to get one. Like, that's kind of what it feels like AEW is doing, where it's just like, and then you'll never believe what happened because there is no reason for it and nothing supported it at all.
We had a lot of twists. Over the past few weeks, we've had a lot of twists. And it's true. It's, like, interesting to think about, like, sometimes it's really nice to feel confident the whole way through. Like, okay, I can see what's going on with the acting and this thing is going to happen. Other times it is nice to have that surprise. But you want the surprise to kind of make sense a little more than maybe it did in this case, especially because it's like we just hadn't seen these people. Mm-hmm. We hadn't seen Anna Jay really do that much for a while, and then they have like one conversation and she's like, I'm fine, I'm happy to be evil now because I want to be on TV. Fully Anna, so, you know.
I also think it was like it didn't, the promo, the Anna's heel turn really didn't work because Ty Conti's promo was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, if it had been better, like, you could be like, oh, maybe Anna thought about it and was like, she's right. but it was mm-hmm. really like, you know, you really have to be on TV, so maybe you should try doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It was funny because really Ty can be very charismatic, but since she's been, since she's gone to the dark side, I would not say that that has been coming out very much. And it was a thing where it was like, if you were like a real person who knew your friend and you were like, I want him to be bad with me, you would have a very different approach if you were the Ty Conti that we knew 3 to 6 months ago or whatever. Right. Like, your approach would be sitting her down and just being like, Anna, I am trying to have a fucking blast with you, girl. Like, let's get out there. Let's be bad together, baby.
It's so much fun. You should try it. It was so boring. Yeah, exactly. Like, and I feel like Ty it's like she doesn't know how to be here. Like, I feel like she has the shtick down of being like cute girl, you know, charming. Yeah. But like, it kind of seems like she's kind of imitating Sammy in a way that's not.
And no one ever should.
No.
No, I don't think it's natural to her. And I don't think she likes it. Like, I think Marty and Sarah pointed out on their podcast how often, like, the camera pans to her when everybody's booing. And she's, like, so mad about it. So it kind of makes sense that she's like, Anna, come be a heel with me. It's great.
You'll love it. All the booing. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas you can see, like, Britt or somebody, like, really enjoying getting the reactions. So,
I hope negative one, like, reacts and is, like, oh, yeah. This is terrible.
I'm so disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be good.
And then at the end of this match, so the Jazz Boys got back down. I love calling them the Jazz Boys. The Jazz Boys got back down. There were some issues unlocking the cage. They had to scramble out between the
it was
bars
so
of the
funny.
Cage.
I honestly kind of love it when something goes wrong because you really feel like it's live TV when Ty can't open the lock.
I know.
For like 5 minutes.
But then like Danny Garcia and Jeff Parker like scramble out so quickly, and Jake Hager and Matt Menard were just like, no, we'll wait. We'll just wait
they
right
gave
here.
A little look, like, where they clearly were being like, what are the chances that it's going to look humiliating if I try and screedle out of this cage? So high, so you keep working on that lock.
They were just, like, envisioning themselves stuck between the bars on live TV, and they were like, no thanks.
And you know what? They were right to think with their heads and not act immediately. And then Sammy also kind of crashed the party, and Jericho won the match, and then Eddie did manage to throw him out into some more barbed wire. I didn't enjoy this match. It's just like, it was like, this is a class. I don't think people are willing to say this. This is a classic Jericho match from what I've seen.
Yeah.
This is how he loves to end a feud, where he's like, and we're going to put so many ruffles on the dress, like, you're barely going to be able to move. Yeah. And it's like, okay, it's too much. It's been too much this whole time. All I want is to see Eddie beat your ass and win this feud. And it's like, obviously good guys can't win every single feud, but it's so degrading to just be like, oh, Jericho won the entire feud. Kill me.
Again. I know. Yeah. And like, I think Eddie might have actually also contributed with all his, like, I want to, like, make you bleed stuff. And it sort of felt like in Sleeping Beauty when the two fairy godmothers are trying to change the color of the dress. And then the dress just is, like, a weird splotchy mess.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, this is this match.
Yeah, you're right.
They are two guys whose vibes don't really mesh well. Yeah, as you pointed out. Yeah, and it was just, like, Jericho came out as the painmaker for this one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I've forgotten how stupid.
Gotta keep the gimmick active, baby.
So funny. It's one of those things where it's like I heard that, what's that movie that's out now? The Black Phone. Like, I heard there are like some great, really scary masks, and Jericho kind of has like the opposite of that.
There are scary masks, but I want to pop in and say, did not enjoy the film. Just watched it.
Good to know. Good to know.
Hey, this isn't a horror review podcast, so we won't get into it. But I thought it was a little overhyped.
Yeah. Pop Culture Happy Hour, which is my full knowledge of it, didn't love it.
But Pop Culture Happy Hour is actually worse than you think, Anne, because Pop Culture Happy Hour, one of the women who was talking about it was also being like, it was just not as scary as the fantastically frightening Sinister, one of, I think, the funniest horror movies to come out in the past 20 years. Anyway, we don't have to get into that.
We don't have
deeper.
To review other podcasts about non-wrestling materials.
Kind of just been waiting for an opportunity to discuss it with someone, so I thought I'd jump in here, but I don't think we have to linger on this. We have been told this is the end of the feud. Do you think that is true?
No.
I don't feel confident at all. Like with Jericho winning, especially, I just felt very like, oh no.
Like, apparently Meltzer is saying that he thinks this is leading to Chris versus Bryan Danielson.
No.
When Bryan Danielson comes back, and it's like, oh, cool.
Sure. That's fine. If they want to fight, if the boys want to fight, that's fine. Free Eddie up. Let Eddie do something else.
Please let Eddie do something else. Yeah.
But I think it's going to keep the BCC and the JAS for like, that's so boring. Forever.
Someone needs to just cut Jericho off for his own good and be like, okay, you have 6 weeks to build a storyline. Six tight weeks, and like you can't keep it going for 6 months.
Because if he does that, like I bet he actually would create a lot of feuds that I'm into, because I'm often really into the middle of his feuds. Yeah.
Even the beginning.
It's really, it's like if you trim the fat, like there's good stuff there. It just always goes on too long. Yeah.
And that, you know, it is a problem of wrestling. I mean, it's like a challenge of wrestling is that you don't get to do a whole thing and then go back in and be like, okay, let's edit out that. Let's edit out that. Oh. You do have to just decide week to week. Like, I think this is what we need. And Jericho does get, like, clearly he's got a lot of status. So it's like he's allowed to make a lot of decisions that nobody pushes back on. And it's like he needs someone to help him edit in the moment and be like, no, we don't have to do that. We can just do this. And that'll be just as good.
Yeah. He's Stephen King once he got real successful and no editor could tell him to cut down. True.
But he is not writing the seminal classic It. He is writing some of the other ones that we aren't talking about.
That's right.
It, a horror book that's allowed to be just as long as it is. I'm not getting into it again. We're moving on to the next thing on our agenda
on this podcast. Before. Yeah, I sort of think so.
Hey, it's one of my favorite topics.
We love it. Yeah.
Let's talk about, I thought this was shockingly some of the best long-term storytelling of the week, perhaps of the month. Or of my life.
Absolutely shocking.
This week, the best friends fought Mox and Yuta with Orange Cassidy and William Regal both on commentary. And the match was, there wasn't really any setup to this match like in the show last week. But we've had setup over the past, you know, 6 months or whatever. The match was fully just about the fact that Chuck was like, Yuta is my child that I reared from a bebe and taught to do wrestling. And then he ran away because he was mad at me and he joined this violence club. And my feelings are really, really hurt about it. Mm-hmm. And the entire match like was structured around that in a way I understood, where I was like, wow, I really know what's going on in this match. It's really interesting.
I know. I did really feel like, wow, when you've been like obsessively paying attention because they're your absolute favorite wrestlers, like things can really pay off for you in a way that with other long-term storytelling, it doesn't necessarily, but they did a great job. I thought I was pretty surprised.
This match,
our sons don't often try.
This match definitely rewarded an extremely niche population, but boy, did it reward them.
And you know what? Our money is as good as anybody else's, okay? We deserve to be rewarded now and then, and not with like a blood and guts t-shirt. We deserve to be rewarded with a story about family and about how sometimes you hurt each other and you don't know how to come back from that.
And actually, like, they have put the storytelling, like, on Dynamite. Like, I do think it's been well established. So even if you're not a super fan, I mean, I think the beats were clear there. It was fun.
I agree. I think it's a light touch storyline. It's, like, not something that they've come back to a lot. But it's, like, it is pretty clear when you look back at all the material. You're like, yep, I can see that that's what's going on. Again, shocking.
Shocking.
So impressed.
They put some effort in. Like, I didn't see it coming. Yeah, and then you had, Greg was seemed like...
I don't know why. I just thought you were going to say Gronk.
Gronk. Our classic best friend, Gronk. But Trent was going in there super mad, and he's never liked Yuta, and he clearly was feeling defensive of Chuck Taylor, which was great. And Chuck Taylor was doing some good face acting. And then Mox was kind of
face acting. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Mox was kind of like left out of the emotional storytelling, and so he didn't get to tag in, and he was just kind of losing it because, like, it's not fair to leave him off the.
His energy was so funny because he was like, yeah, I get this. This is very emotional for you. I came here to punch somebody, and nobody has let me do the punching.
It's like, funny.
I know you're working things out, but I just have to get in there.
It's funny because at the beginning of the match, they did a thing where Mox was like so tenderly like kissing Yuta's head and being like, "You're my beautiful boy." Like it was like real like rubbing it in Chuck's face. Mm-hmm. And that was like what he had to give. I think he did an amazing job of it. And then it's true for the rest of the match. He was like, "And now for the violence." And I did, hey, I did the acting you said I had to do, okay? So now for the violence.
Like, anytime. Tag me in. Tag in. No, no.
Someone said, someone on Twitter was like, he should have come into the ring wearing like one of those, like, I'm not the stepfather, I'm just the father who stepped up shirt.
That would have been really funny.
Oh, so happy. I'm so happy. And anyway, so yeah, just great. And the end of this match, I don't remember who pinned who actually.
It was Yuta pinned Dustin.
I can't believe you forgot that. Yuta pinned Chuck Taylor. I remember using a pin that he taught him.
You know, sometimes when I'm trying to figure out how to transition, it's really hard to remember why I'm happy. Okay, yes, he pinned it. It almost seemed like Dustin was going to manage to pin him, but he pinned Dustin.
He tried to awful waffle Chuck Taylor. Almost awful waffle
Mox.
Yuta.
Oh, well, he did do Mox. He did Mox. Okay, yeah, guys, this is an our shiniest moment, but just goes to show when the emotional storytelling is working, the moves are irrelevant, actually.
That's right.
Except that they're not in this case because on commentary, Orange Cassidy stood up and said Chuck taught him that pin and left. And that was one of the sexiest things that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. Was pretty brutal.
Two things he said on commentary, like all he had to offer was when William Regal was like, Yuta wanted to join the best stable in AEW, and he was like, allegedly. And then, like, that was it. So the two things that he said.
I did appreciate that William Regal kind of tried to draw him out on that and like some other times and was just fully unsuccessful. But you know what? He didn't try to flirt, so maybe he should have given that a go. Take your eyes off Excalibur for a second. There's other
William
beautiful
Regal
men.
He was working very hard to try to talk to OC, though. I think OC at one other time said, okay.
Yeah,
he so he really.
He did.
That's good commentary work. That's a bit I enjoyed about how many times I see it.
I know. Do you think this is going anywhere else?
I don't know. I'd sure like it if they were eventually, but
I'm actually fine if there's not anything new for like 6 months to a year. But like,
I agree.
Eventually.
I think you can go. I think it's very. They're not the best friends are not going to set up that many emotional storylines. Let's be real. So I think they should keep milking this one far into the future, just intermittently. That's not a problem. I did think while like OC was on commentary and I was watching, I was like, there's lots of guys in the BCC that you could like that we'd want to see and other people would want to see OC fight. So I think it easily could be like semi setting up any of those, not even in an imminent way, just like you could use it down the line.
Maybe they'll do an OC Mox match, you know, just, for Chuck Taylor's honor.
I would love that. Someone's got to fight for it.
Yeah.
Remember get when out I there. Just said, how did this match end?
Your brain was running the transition subroutine. It couldn't get into the rest of it, so.
It's just a real broken situation. Anything else you guys want to call out about that match? Or are y'all done here?
The only thing I would mention is just like the moment where Chuck was like throwing Yuta into the barricades and then Mox saw him and started towards him and then he ran away. And it was like a little bit of a circus routine for a minute where like Dustin kept looking over his shoulder and being like, oh God, he's still after me.
So funny. I mean, it's like there is something really beautiful about just like it's perfect characterization that he's like, I'll fight. I'm fine fighting. I'm happy to fight. If I can run instead, like, sometimes I'm going to do that. Discretion is the better part of valor.
It's fight or flight, baby, and both are valid.
Both are valid. Okay. On Rampage, Chris and Athena fought the Renegade Twins and won. And I think this led to some post-match fighting featuring Jade and Kiera Hogan and Layla Gray. I do think that I'm missing something that was going on with this angle. So they were supposed to have a trios match. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, with Willow, Chris, and Athena versus Layla, Jade, and Kira Hogan.
So is it, did you think it was, it's like a shoot thing that Layla wasn't cleared to compete, or you don't know?
I have no idea. I didn't really understand it either. And I meant to look into it when I saw this on the schedule, but I didn't.
So. My favorite thing to hear is that nobody is sure, so we can just elide it pretty much and just move past it. For one reason or another, it didn't end up being a trios match. It ended up being a tag team match. So on Dynamite, we got a promo from Chris and Athena and Willow Nightingale, where basically, like, they were kind of amping themselves up, and Athena was like, I should be the TBS champ. Chris, you should be the Women's World champ. And Chris was like, yeah, that sounds okay to me. Yeah, I like the sound of that. And then, for some reason, Athena and Chris didn't fight against Jade and Kira Hogan. Willow and Jade did. And this was the moment in the promo where I couldn't really tell, maybe because I was missing information or because of something about the acting or whatever. I couldn't tell if it was a thing where Athena was kind of like cutting Chris out, and Chris did feel a little bit like, wait a second, I don't know if this is right. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I couldn't tell either. And Chris did look a little, like, kind of put out, but I couldn't tell if she, like, forgot what she was supposed to say or if she, like, was acting put out. I don't know.
Yeah. Because I just thought, because of Athena, like, confidently being like, I'll get this belt and you'll get this belt. And it's like, well, one of the belts is, like, a little more in reach for your faction right now. So that was the thing that made me be like, okay, is this a thing where Chris is, like, thinking to herself, like, wait a second, I think I'm getting cut out of the action and I'm going to end up shit out of luck with no belt at all. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, well, that would make sense.
If you're right, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I think I would be like, well, we don't want to always be setting the women's friendships up and knocking them down so fast. It'd be nice.
True.
If maybe if I'm overreading into it, I feel great about that, and I hope I am. I thought that the match was very fun.
Yeah,
it was super fun. I feel like all the people in the ring, like, just have really big personalities in, like, a really charismatic way, and they were really fun to watch. And they all had different colored hair, which was fun.
Yeah, it did at one point, like, look like a Rainbow Bright episode, which I loved. Like, yeah, everyone was so beautifully colored.
Oh my God, I have not thought about Rainbow Bright in a minute.
Mm-hmm. It was just like the gear, the hair, it all looked so beautiful.
Yeah, it was very fun. Yeah, and I think Chris and Willow and Athena are, like, such a fun group. Like, I just have a great time whenever they're doing a promo. Like, Willow is so charming, and Athena, like, everybody's just great. So, I love it.
Show us some, you know, some training sessions, and get us backstage even more, and give us more access. I want to see these women more.
Mm. Yeah, seriously. Give them promos every week, for sure.
And then Jade did win, and I loved that pin. So that's all I'll say about that. Leah, you raised a good little discussion point about something that has been going on with Jade. Do you want to bring that up?
Yeah. So, like, Jade has just been treating Stokely Hathaway like he's Mark Sterling. Like, she just, like, transitioned very easily to, like, abusing him whenever he makes a suggestion. But, like, I don't really think it works the same way, because, like, Mark Sterling is pretty, like, hapless, you know, but, like, Stokely's not, like, I don't think it works as well, because you get the feeling where you're like, well, why is Stokely in this anyways? And I especially don't really know that this Layla thing is working, where, like, Jade doesn't want Layla to join the baddies and Stokely's, like, making her, and it's sort of like, well, how is he making her? Like, I don't know that any of this is particularly fun to watch.
I think it's a little hard to figure out sometimes, like, who am I supposed to be backing here? Like, who do you, where do you think I am in the argument that's going on right now? Because I agree that, like, if you hate your lawyer manager because he's so dumb and you really publicly fire him for another smarter manager, like, that's your vibe, is like, get out of here, Mark. Like, I found a much better guy. You do kind of feel like maybe we don't immediately return to having the exact same dynamic with the new guy. Right. Especially when the new guy is very, like, different. Like, Stokely Hathaway has a much different vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does make it feel a little bit like, does Jade just kind of have this one move, like, in the, you know, repertoire for a little conversation?
Yeah. And she's like, I mean, like, I think that, like, her, like, general, like, vibe and confidence and, like, even just the way she's delivering lines is, like, like working really well. Like I'm like, it seems really like it's coming really naturally. Like I'm just like, oh yeah, all the like the charisma that I at the beginning was like, I'm just not getting it as much. Like now I really am like, yes, but is it the specific, are you doing the right things for the situation you're in? Maybe not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like excited for her to team up with Stokely because it seemed like it could be a fun dynamic where the Mark Sterling thing didn't seem to gel with her so much. But yeah, it has been not very fun. So, yeah.
It's hard to tell if it's like going to be anything kind of like, it's like, you just are like, is this just a way that we're passing the time, which lots of things in wrestling are, or am I supposed to be keeping an eye on it? Like, a little difficult to know, but that is also, I think, maybe like kind of a broader thing with Jade, where it's like she's had the belt for so long now that we're like past the point where I am even attempting to like guess what I think is gonna happen, what the long term storyline plans are. So,
I did think like after she pinned whoever she pinned in this match, I was like, when are they going to have Jade lose? Because like this faction does seem like a plot and they might just keep fighting and eventually have it. But it does like it feels like Athena would be a plausible opponent for her to lose to. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, this feels like the strongest and most plausible set of opponents that she's had in recent memory. In recent memory, I don't remember
a lot of things. Who knows what happened a year ago?
But again, like this is, it's an art house film to me now, where I'm just like, anything can happen.
Right. Don't even know what genre this is.
No. Okay, let's move on to talking about Ricky and Will Hobbs, some of our top boys of late.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy how cool they have become. I feel like once, it was just like once the two of them were like, teamed up specifically out of Team Taz, it's just like the chemistry is just rocketing. Love it.
Who knew that Brian Cage really was holding them so far down?
Right. I know. I mean, I feel like it's like that was kind of our vibe, but we didn't realize the extent of it.
Yeah.
We thought he was just, anyway. So Ricky and Will Hobbs cut a promo on Rampage against a new man, I believe, who once was on NXT, true or false?
Yes, he had some kind of gimmick where he was either, I think he was in the mafia, which is why Ricky made a joke where he was like, you've been swimming with the fishes, but now you're swimming with the sharks.
Oh.
That was his last line on NXT, or the last thing someone said about him on NXT, I believe, from Twitter I learned. Yeah. He's swimming with the fishes.
Oh. I love when we know like a very small amount of information and we're so proud about it.
What was his name? Like Kale or something? Kale Carter?
Kale
Cooper.
Carter. Sounds like, hey, book it. So this man is named Kale Carter now. I'm not looking up anything. So they cut a little promo. And then on Dynamite, he fought Ricky for the FTW belt and Ricky retained. And was like really feeling himself through this whole match. There were a lot of moments where I was like, Ricky, your butt is just out of control right now. You're so happy to be fighting.
You love to see it.
So he immediately after the match was like, okay, open challenge. Let's hit me with another one. I can fight again. And the man who came out was Danhausen. And Ricky immediately backtracked a little and was like, I'm unfortunately actually can't fight right now. I'm afraid.
It was so funny too because the crowd started booing really intensely and he was like, calm down, you'll see it on TV next week or something, which was very funny.
I do just love Ricky. So I mean, it's like, and he in the moment is always like able to just say the exact thing that I'm like,
oh yeah. I'm very excited because I'm gonna see that in person.
Oh
yeah. God, why is Dynamite always in
I didn't even know that you were going to a Dynamite.
Yeah, you like don't even mention it anymore because it's so routine.
I can't help it. AEW just wants me to be there.
I am going to a show in August as well, actually. So treats for me,
so
too.
Unfair. They haven't come any closer than Cincinnati to me.
I am quite excited about the August show because Anna and Josh are going with me and
friends of the pod.
I'm very excited to get there on the spot reactions to what's going on. And I really hope they get some. Anna's going to want to see Darby, so I hope he's still up to whatever he's doing with Bronk at that point.
I don't think anything's going to break Darby.
Nothing's going to. Oh, okay. A, knock on wood. But I hope he's in like an active feud and that hasn't cooled off and he's not fighting or something.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
Anyway, Leah's going to see this in person. She's a ragger, but we're very excited for her and we can't wait to hear the reportage. So the implications of this are interesting.
They're so delicious because I think for the past 3 weeks in our grab bag that we haven't gotten to is Hookhausen over? And we kept being like, has this cooled off? Are they not doing it because, you know, freaks got too weird on the internet and they're like, not doing it. But it turns out maybe they cooled it off so that they could just make me lose my mind. Because if Ricky turns on Danhausen in some way and Hook comes out to defend Danhausen and then that somehow turns into a Ricky versus Hook match and Hook takes the belt.
Ooh. His dad's belt
in a way that's kind of not super aligned with his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everything has
Team Taz. Yeah.
I know that they have distanced. It'll be interesting to see how they deal with this because sometimes when they do these, like, they just quietly distance someone from a faction, like, sometimes you'll never hear about it again. Even when they come back into contact, they really won't bring it up. But sometimes, you know, like with Anna Jay and Ty Conti last week, like suddenly out of nowhere, it'll be like, well, actually, this has been going on. So it'll be interesting to see if that comes into play. I have to assume that that something along these lines is going to happen. Like Hook has to come into play here somehow. Danhausen did just like post a little video with Hook today, too. So I'm like, okay, so... You know, you're keeping it alive. Like, all the pieces are there. It's kind of like a waste if you don't do something interesting with this.
It's so good, too. It's such a good way to get, like, Hook, like, sort of emotionally involved when he's such, like, a too-cool-for-school kind of character. Mm-hmm. But then if he was in there, like, defending Danhausen like that,
right, because he has the same problem as Orange Cassidy, where in a feud, he's never going to be the guy who can do the heavy lifting because his character doesn't talk and doesn't really react to things, so he has to be partnered with someone who does the emotional heavy lifting. And who knew, and then it's like that.
So powerful when he does take an action, like when he finally shakes Danhausen's hand, like it really hits because it's so rare.
And it is actually kind of the exact same thing, because Leah, you were saying that like someone on Reddit was saying about Orange Cassidy, like, I think the only thing he cares about is Chuck Taylor, which is how they use that in the, like, in their plot lines, where they're just like, we got to get him worked up. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so we'll fuck with his friends. Like, so Hook didn't have any friends, but now he has a friend. And this is interesting because you have the friend involved, but then you have the specter of his father involved as well. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of rich soil there.
I really hope it pays off because it's getting into some really juicy territory they could really do something with. So
we've had to come back to this pod and eat a lot of crow recently. So it's going to be so fun. I'm going to come back next week and we're like, so Ricky squashed Danhausen.
Hook did not come out.
I love to have so little memory that I'm just like, have we? I don't remember being wrong about anything.
Do you remember being like, I know that if no one got us MJ, and then being like, well, there's no way the Bucks will lose the belt this early.
Well, I guess I don't even think about it. I guess everything I say now, I'm just like, probably wrong. But if I ran the zoo, it would be right. And we are very right about this. This would be the right thing to do. So I hope.
And we've never made any claims about knowing anything or being able to predict anything. Quite the opposite. Yeah.
We say
just
we
fulfilling
try
our promises.
You know, in a way, we don't predict, but we do authoritatively tell Tony what the right thing to do would be.
That's true. And we're always right when we do.
Hey, we've never been wrong.
Never been wrong.
Let's talk about another little feud that let us down. You know what? Let's see what happens. But
some people got a little twist happy in this one too.
This is a thing where Tony listened to us because we told. I actually don't think we told you what to do with this, but I would have told you not to do this. Okay. Billy Gunn was on Rampage last week, not explaining remotely sufficiently why he abandoned his new wives, the Acclaimed, for not his gormless sons, his stupid boys.
Amazing use of the word gormless, which you don't hear enough.
Thank you. I think it should be coming up a lot more. he got into the ring claiming he would explain himself. But I think that his explanation was kind of like, it be that way sometimes.
It really was. It was like, and now we're going to hear from Billy Gunn, and he's going to say why he did that. And he's like, you know, sometimes I just do things. Like, who can say why?
I believe his exact words were, sometimes daddy's got to let the hammer drop.
It's very funny because it's like you could do a fairly normal explanation too of being like talking to the crowd and being like, I'm sorry, they're my legitimate flesh and blood
biological sons.
Look at their faces. Do you really think it's crazy? Face. Yeah, exactly. But no, he was just, he kind of wasn't working in that zone. So,
and then he said to Anthony Bowen, scissor me daddy ass. Like, does he understand that he's daddy ass?
Seems like maybe not. He's like, talking to the big daddy in the sky.
To him, it's like when you shake hands in church. He's like, yeah, no, it's just the thing you say.
Right.
When you rub your fingers together.
Show me a sign of Christ's
love. Peace be with you. Yeah. He's just like, peace be with you. Scissor me daddy ass. Yeah.
It's just the thing that people say. We all say it.
Yeah, we're all saying it. Hey, Billy, you're right about that. We are all saying it. So then I think the Acclaimed showed up and Max Caster did a little rap dissing, I've written this wrong, but dissing the Ass Boys. And then this week on Dynamite, the Ass Boys said that they want to have a rap battle with the Acclaimed. So they're all going to have a rap battle, I think.
I'm not mad about that. I think that'll be very entertaining. So
I think that I'm going to cringe out of my skin. There's a thing.
Oh, it's going to be bad. Yeah.
I'm going to be there. And so, there's
nowhere for you to go. You can't go get a beer. I guess you could. You could go get a beer, but you don't want to leave because you have to see it.
I have to see it. So when things
Who's
get
bragging
too
now, Leah? Who's bragging now?
Time to suffer.
When things get too exciting at Sarah's house, Sarah gets up and she runs into the dining room and then she peers against the wall and like looks through her hands. And I just picture the two of us doing it, but like from like the popcorn stand and just being like, I can't watch. It's too much.
I find that so incredibly relatable, but actually sometimes this especially used to happen when I was living with Anna and Josh. We all would watch movies together. I'd get really stressed out and go to the bathroom and I'd come back and find they paused the movie.
I love the idea. Thoughtful. I love the idea of Max and Austin Gunn being like, "Hold on, that girl just ran up the stairs. Hang on a minute.
Wait for Leah to come back. Yeah, just everybody sit tight.
Hold, please. I'll just hold my bars a minute.
Cut my music. do you guys think? Oh, where do you think everyone's going to land in terms of face heel stuff at the end?
The Acclaimed came out of
the
face tunnel.
Did they come out the face tunnel?
They came out of the face tunnel.
Right?
I hate
they can't be faces.
So
that's nuts. I mean, how are they going to do their raps if they're being nice? That's just not. I mean, it would be funny if they did like Mr. Rogers raps for a few weeks before they had to chase their nature.
Kind of like that whole bit after Max got suspended where he kept saying like family friendly raps.
Yeah, that's right.
It's interesting because you can't just because two heels are fighting or two heel tag teams or whatever, it doesn't mean that one of them is going to come out as like good, actually, because if the fight that they're having isn't about an inherent like moral or ethical issue, they can just both still be rat boys. And that's what I think has happened here, where it's like a father wouldn't leave his children to be your sugar daddy. Like, that doesn't make you a good person.
That's what turns people to the righteous path, for sure.
You're absolutely right, but like, Tony is allergic to having heel-heel feuds, and it sucks because I'm like, because this is why Jericho had to turn face for that period, because they were like, oh, well, he can't fight the Pinnacle. But it's like, no. You can just have two different kind of rats. That's okay.
It's also
two mean
thing.
People fight each other all the time. Like he's never worked in an office or something.
I know. Well, yeah. Well, maybe that's true.
He probably hasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, it's also it's like I think that heel fights can be helpful also as a longer term storytelling tool where it's like if you had the Acclaimed, this is a little deeper than the Acclaimed want to go, I get it, but if like the takeaway from the Acclaimed was like man, it fucking sucks when you think someone likes you and then they don't like you. Like, now we're really thinking about our lives, and that's taking us on a journey where we're getting closer to being faces. And then you do a couple more things, and then you get them there all the way. This just isn't the thing that, to me, gets them there all the way. Like, it's just like, it doesn't, that does not check out, because nothing in Max Caster's essential nature is changed by this. But he's mad that Billy Gunn didn't want to kiss him on the mouth. Enough.
Well, we all are, honestly. Yeah. The pacing on this storyline was just so bad. I'm just mad about it.
It
feel like
so quick. It's and it shouldn't crazy happen how that quick. Way.
No.
Yeah. If they just like let it breathe for like a few weeks in between each kern, it could have been great.
Edit yourself. Yeah. Look in the mirror, take one thing off. Let it breathe. These are simple maxims. We can put them on a poster. We could hang them everywhere backstage.
Leah, make a sign before you go to Dynamite next
week. Yes. Hell yes.
Let it breathe.
For the writers and editors of America, let it breathe. Well, that's crazy. I'm very interested to see, because you know I love a little rat face. Like, I, you know, it's like, and I think the best friends are in that realm. Not
yeah as, they brought a chainsaw out last
yeah
week.
They brought a chainsaw out, but like where they're like a little better, because they will usually be like, yeah, we'll do the right thing at the end of the day. But like, I like a rat face. You're gonna have to do some work to make that work for the Acclaimed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So let's see. Luchasaurus and Christian fought, was this right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I was just thinking, like, speaking of turns that happened so quickly.
I put them next to each other for a reason. This is more of that, you know, that Anna Jay stuff that we were talking
about
at the beginning.
Whiplash in this episode.
Luchasaurus and Christian fought the Varsity Blondes. So this was based on the stuff that went on last week. It was basically a squash match. It was very, very quick. Brian Pillman Jr.'s mullet looked beautiful. So let's start there.
And Griff Garrison's hair also looked beautiful. I thought there were some angelic blonde boys.
Absolutely. Take care of each other, boys.
Mm. Who was it in our group chat? Was it Beth who said Brian Pillman Jr. is for the lesbians?
Absolutely she did. And she was right, because I had been sitting there thinking too, like, yeah, I follow her on TikTok. When I look at Brian Pillman Jr., that's what I think. I follow her on TikTok. And I love her content. So after they won, Luchasaurus and Christian, Jungle Boy's music hit. He comes out. He's wearing a leather jacket. I would say that he was working at it with his face. He didn't do a bad job. His face said, I'm changed.
I'm a man now.
I've seen things and felt things, betrayal that I had not experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked down, and Christian, I think, kind of was like, yeah, Luchasaurus, go deal with this, because, oh, he looks like Jungle Boy because he is Jungle Boy. And Luchasaurus was standing between him and the ring. And then Luchasaurus immediately just stepped aside like, I am on your side, actually.
This was wild. Like, what
lordy,
is happening?
Lordy.
You think this would be the moment where it's like Christian turned Luchasaurus, so now like there's a payoff to it or whatever, but it was just like, nope, just kidding.
It made me think, like, last week or in the bonus episode when we asked Marty, we were like, what do you think is going on with Luchasaurus? And Marty refused to play ball and was just sort of like, nah, he's just a dumb guy who's, you know.
He's like, he's in wrestling, like, sometimes big guys are real
sometimes
dumb.
Sometimes it happens like that. Basically. And it's like, somehow Marty knew, like, he was he like, knew. Yeah, no. This is not going to pay off in any way. Yeah.
Don't worry. Ladies, don't dream too big, because those dreams get burst. Yeah, we're back down on Earth now. It's crazy because I can't stop thinking in my brain, like, but he got hypnotized. No, they never said that. No, that's not what they said. But it was the only explanation that made sense to me, and I liked it.
That's what they showed, though.
That's what they showed. Because he had his whole vibe was like, he's got a trigger word, and I can set him on anyone at any time. Mm-hmm. But now, I guess what we're supposed to think is that Luchasaurus, it's kind of like he either was like, I'm really stupid and I will side with anybody, which is boring and I don't like, or that he was like, oh, Jungle Boy's not here to tell me what to do and I don't want to fuck it up, so I'm just going to go with it. And then the next time I see him, I'll just run it by him and be like, was that right? I don't know.
Which
it's
makes
like,
me,
oh, Jungle Boy, my first boss.
Yeah, it makes me really worried, because if Jungle Boy is the brains of that operation, like, yikes.
Shit out of luck. And alarming. Now Jungle Boy's girlfriend is evil. It's like, okay. Well, it's about to get pretty rough, dicey in there.
Oh, my God. And then it was so funny, too, because, like, Christian just ran away and then Jungle Boy chased him. But so they like darted away through the crowd and stuff. But it was also funny because like Jungle Boy started gaining on him and he like almost caught him and had to like slow down, which I got a kick out of.
I did like watching the chase scene. This was one of those times in wrestling where I'm not entertained by anything I'm seeing. I'm enjoying myself thoroughly. I like all the people involved. And also at the end, I think, what the literal fuck?
Sometimes it is like they just come up with these things like 5 minutes before air and they put less thought into it than we do. So yeah.
Well, there's a lesson there, I guess.
Probably.
Let's hit on all the stuff that was going on with the House of Black this week. So Miro, who got gooed recently, cut a promo on Rampage, and I will read the quote. He said, "My God, did you make a deal with the devil to stop me? Because ever since Malachi's missed, I can feel his claws. Should I let the pagans take me? Theological. Or should I rip off their heads and take their spines? Did you send the House of Black to destroy the Redeemer or to recruit me?"
Loved it. When he said, "Should I let the pagans take me?" I was just sent to heaven. Just chef's kiss. Miro's doing work nobody else is
Miro
doing.
Could.
He sells these insane little monologues. And he sells them so perfectly. I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
He could get into an MFA program. I'd tell you for free.
Yeah. He is. And you know, where Malachi Black is like getting into an MFA program, but like he's a lunatic who's like developed his own mythology way too far, so it makes no sense to anyone else. Like Miro's doing it right, and it is always like you've cut to kind of a different show, but somehow it works really well. Like, I don't know.
He's great because it's serious and comic at the same time. I mean, it's like he is taking the character is taking himself seriously, but in a way where you're like, but he knows that there's comedy in this for the rest of it. It is just like a perfect little balancing act. He's actually perfect. Change nothing.
Yeah.
And so then on Dynamite, Darby fought Brody King because of Allie. Oh, dear.
You really shouldn't put in the notes. I'll explain on the show. I'll definitely remember what
my
I was going to say.
My wrist hurt. I couldn't type anymore. I've written because of I don't know. I'll explain on the show. Darby was condescending to Bronk, and Bronk was mad at him. So Bronk, I think, attacked him at a fan fest. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then last week on Rampage, Darby jumped on Bronk. So they've been going back and forth about that. So then Darby got ragdolled by Bronk for quite a while in this match. It was beautiful to behold. I will just say someone on Twitter said it's crazy that everyone on the roster is injured, but somehow Darby is fine. And I was like, that's so right. But also, can't hurt that man. Can't keep a rowdy toddler down.
Just Gumby. His bones aren't brittle yet.
His bones are like made of elastic. Like something's, it's not normal.
It's not normal, but it's cool to watch.
He should probably be in some kind of colony being treated for it
somewhere.
A leper colony, guys.
We got to get that guy out on an island.
Should be studied.
But anyway, so then he lost, which is great. I love watching Darby lose. It's like you just are never worried about it. You're like, yeah, he doesn't care. But then Sting came out to kind of defend him from Bronk. And then Malachi, the lights went out and Malachi came out to help. And then Miro came out in sunglasses. I forgot about the goo actually at this point. So I thought he was just like a cool for the summer look. But you were right. And that
it was very cool for
that
the
was
summer,
about
though.
The goo. Probably.
And then his Pagan promo, the light was falling so that you couldn't see his goo dye.
Oh, right. And I did notice that at the time, but forgot about it. So, it's the Julia Hart issue all over again, is the goo taking. It's interesting. The goo didn't take Pac. So
no.
Maybe it's like kind of a little thing.
Pac got into the ocean, wiped it off, called it a day.
But you know, it's like two people get exposed to an illness and only one of them gets it.
Oh, what kind of illness are you thinking about?
Any kind you could think of, really.
Any kind. Yeah, it's interesting. I just can't think of one.
Nothing specific that I hear about all the time. No.
Okay, and so then, Sting also got gooed at the end of this match.
Yeah,
so
alarming.
What
are you going to do if Sting gets gooed?
I don't know. Wow. This made me really think, like, are we ever going to get taken on a journey where Sting and Darby are torn apart by something like goo evil,
like goo,
and Darby has to take a journey through the self to save Sting? I'd kill for that storyline. I'd love to watch that.
Oh, man. If someone had to rescue someone who'd been gooed and do like a Tamlin and just grab them and not let go to like get the evil out of their heart. Yeah.
Tony, this is what we want to see, because that's about friendship. That's about father loving. That's about family. Mm-hmm. Very into that. I think, what do you think this is leading to? I think, what do you think? Anything? Any thoughts?
I love Miro fighting with the goo, and I love everything Miro's doing. I don't want him to join House of Black, so that's putting me in a place.
I don't think that he's actually going to. I think he's teasing it, but, like, not to be, like, too pragmatic, but I think it's going to come to, like, Miro, Darby, and Sting versus Brody, Buddy, and Malachi, because, like, the numbers would add up.
But I do. You're like, I can see when there's a parallel number.
I
of
see
men.
It. No, I think when the you men are right, line yeah. up. I see the men lining up in my head. But I do think it's very, very funny that in this feud, they've been lining Darby up with Bronk and then Malachi up with Sting. But, like, it's very funny because, like, Malachi's the leader of House of Black, and they're like, yes, his equivalent is Sting. It's like, oh, I think, like, Darby is, like, the actual wrestler. Sting, like, I mean, Sting has been jumping onto tables lately.
You heard
like,
it here first. She said Sting's not an actual wrestler.
Wow. Harsh. Wow.
She invites criticism. She doesn't fear it.
I'm not saying it right, but you know what I mean.
I know.
Well,
that you're
leaves
like,
Miro paired up with Buddy, which is real demoralizing.
I think that makes sense because of their size. I think because of their size and body shapes. I think that's probably right. I
kind of think of Buddy and Bronk as being about the same, but that could be wrong.
I don't know. I think it's, I don't know. I really don't know, but I like Buddy's body. So I would like to see Buddy and Miro's bodies get to know each other.
In that way, it's weird for Brian Danielson. Brian Danielson's son is named Buddy. Like that's on his birth certificate. Do you think it's weird for him when his Buddy Matthews is just wandering around too?
I don't know. I think that's kind of the least of AEW's issues because they have 17 mats. So there's got to be some mat children running around, too.
But really, any organization, they're just going to have a lot of mats.
So you think Buddy, though, is like a little more unusual?
A little more unusual, yeah.
I guess maybe so. and then also in House of Blackland, we can't get into this that much, but John Silver and Alex Reynolds fought Malachi and Bronk for Hangman's Honor. I don't actually know why. I don't remember anything about this.
Bronk tossed Hangman out of the Battle Royale. But it was like John Silver was like, "We're gonna fight him because of how he treated you." And Hangman in that promo was sort of like, "Why?" I don't know.
I mean, he's like, "It's about the Battle Royale." So, yeah, it's kind of the rules.
People get thrown out. Yeah,
I don't know. But then, so they did, and they lost, I think. But then, so now, then they picked a fight with the Butcher and the Blade, and Hangman and John Silver are gonna wrestle the Butcher and the Blade on Rampage this week. So we don't know why any of that is happening, but let's just touch.
The only thing that I will say is that I think the entire group chat wants that Butch shirt.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't looking at the screen, so I didn't.
It was kind of just a shirt that says Butch on it.
Yeah, I'll buy that, of
John
course.
John Silver was given.
Easily buy that, yeah.
The Butcher and the Blade.
But we can we buy it?
No, I don't think so. Damn or it. I didn't see it, but.
Tony, our money is as good as anybody else's.
They're refusing to sell me so many things that I see on TV and trying to sell me things that are ugly and stupid. I resent it. Yeah.
Make capitalism work for us, Tony.
Yeah. When I want to throw money at you.
Let us throw the money. I know we're late, but we do briefly have to talk about Hangman's other thing he had going on this week, which was on Being the Elite. Which was that he was wearing his beautiful tie-dye shirt, and he was there when the Bucks lost their belt and belts. They have two. They're two men. They're two different men. They have two belts, one each. They each get a
They're
belt.
They're kind of a one set of belts, though.
Kind of
you
a
know,
set of belts. Yeah. One per man. So one per man. They're two men. Yeah. It came out. They've lost their belts. Hangman is standing there watching. Loaded moment.
Yeah.
Sad music.
Loved it. I love that they're doing their gradual progression. They're slow burning it. It's looking good. The pacing is good. Like, but things are moving a little bit each week.
When I get just a couple of seconds each week, like, man can live on that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
live happily.
Oh, yeah.
I know,
easily.
And I'm really pleased that Hangman also has been spending more time, like, hanging out with John Silver and Alex Reynolds. It just feels like we're picking up some threads that we had, like, dropped for a little while there. Like, we're starting to rev up the machine here. I love it.
And I also thought, from a cinematography perspective, I thought very smart that you did a lot of setup where you were wearing the tie-dye t-shirt, and then in the shot, we immediately see you because it's a very distinctive t-shirt. I thought, wow, these men really think about it.
I did love that moment where everybody was like, oh, that's why he was wearing that shirt. Oh, gotcha.
It just worked. It was really good. It makes me feel hopeful for the summer to come.
Please, Hungbucks, please.
Hungbucks, baby.
Oh, I want it so bad. So bad.
I think that is the note of hope on which we end tonight. Did I miss anything anybody really want to talk about?
Ring of Honor? That we didn't really talk about the Ring of Honor.
I know.
You know what big fans of Ring of Honor that
I know.
We are.
I thought I am doing my girls a grave disservice by not putting the Ring of Honor stuff on the schedule. They're going to be so sad, but I love making my girls sad. So,
wow.
Chop.
Wow. Harsh. Okay. This was a great week. I feel like there was a lot to criticize, but really I had a great time watching.
I think it goes to show that there are different types of criticism, and some weeks it's just all fun criticism. You're like, yeah, it wasn't right, but I had a blast.
Right,
exactly. Was it good? That's not my business. I enjoyed myself. We make it our business by discussing it, I guess, but I also had a really good time this week. So on that note, I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, and come back next week.
Football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.